Happy Friday. Welcome to the weekend. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 8:07. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Brother. Yeah, it's awesome. When you hear that music, you know it's Friday. It's the Bob Rose Show. We welcome you. And now an important PSA for you and, our Sky listeners. The Bob Rose Show is now a podcast. You've probably never heard me mention that before.
Wow, this is news.
You can find us anytime on Apple, Spotify, the Odyssey app, even iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode. You can listen by individual hour. Jump straight to the headlights. Headlights or headlines?
Ooh, headlights are on.
I think it's highlights is what I'm supposed to be saying.
Yeah, probably
there.
So. Yeah.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Bob Rose Show, hit the follow button, and you'll get every minute of the show your way on your time.
That's like Burger King or something. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Hulk Hogan, I have to say, had a lot of influence on a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, naturally going to overshadow some other folks we lost recently. One of them, the legendary jazz musician Chuck Mangione. He's passed away at the age of 84. Was that the opening for a show as well?
It sounds like one, but it was just a huge single for him.
Yeah.
Man, I played it my first radio gig in high school, so late 70s.
Mm.
Feel So Good was the name of it.
Just in case you're waiting.
Yeah.
There's no vocal that's going to kick in.
Any moment now. Any moment
so.
Now. Well, you did say jazz musician, and that's what he was. So, yeah, you're
he
right.
Could have bippity boppity doop dop.
But it's hard to do that while you're playing the trumpet there. So.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
Hard,
I guess I never looked at it that
to
way.
Both, yeah. So you can play a guitar. You can be Santana, even though he didn't do his own vocals. But hard to do when you're playing wind instruments.
He was from Rochester, New York. Hmm.
His name would still show up over the years if you were watching TV shows mainly produced out of L.A. He might show up as music director or whatever soundtrack guy. And he was still very influential. He was out there.
1977, won his first Grammy Award for Best Instrumental Composition. Got a second one in 1979 for Best Instrumental Performance.
Hmm.
Wow. So, yeah, he won his awards. His name was very, very well known. But I never heard him sing a lick.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, guess he did not.
Mm-mm.
But, yep, and I think this was Tuesday, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. They just announced it yesterday.
Yeah.
Just been a tough month, actually, July. Tough month to be a celebrity, kind of.
Well, you had that Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Yes, drowned.
And that was, what was he, 54?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Man, that's a sad one. On vacation with your family.
Yeah. I guess they got caught in a rip current, apparently.
Yeah.
That's sad. They really tried to save him, but just couldn't do it.
Apparently, there were surfers out there. This was Costa Rica. They were the first to see the two, meaning him and his daughter, his 8-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
They were struggling in the water, and they dove in to help. And one of the surfers reportedly used his board to bring the actor's daughter to safety, while a volunteer lifeguard pulled Warner and another surfer to shore. But by then... I guess it was too late.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah. It's...
We'd had Connie Francis earlier this month, the singer.
Right.
She had passed. And then the last remaining star, if you would, even if it was the last season, from Hogan's Heroes, ironically, Hulk Hogan.
You mean they're all gone?
They're all gone.
And this was the last one. And this guy,
yeah.
He was only with him for a little bit, right?
Yeah, the last
He
season.
Took your buddy's place.
Yeah, Ivan Dixon had played Kinchlow, the black radio operator. And quite frankly, he was kind of bored with it, wanted to get into stuff a little more serious. And so he stepped away, and the show lasted one more season.
Wow, that was a great gig. But I guess he timed it right. It only went on one more season. But
yep.
the person that died was Kenneth Washington.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he was on several TV appearances here and there, but the Hogan's Hero thing was, I guess it was a regular gig, at least for that last year. And but he was on Star Trek. He got on there, I Dream of Jeannie, some episodes of My Three Sons, Petticoat Junction. All right?
Ooh, Petticoat Junction.
Marcus Welby, M.D.
Man, that's a, those are all flashbacks.
One Adam 12, One Adam 12.
Oh, okay.
And also, just the facts, ma'am.
Dragnet. There you go.
Sergeant Joe Friday.
The serious guy.
Yeah. Jack Webb. He was...
Yeah. Prolific writer. Yeah.
I remember, that. He had that flat top haircut. Yep. All right. So, yeah. What's this with people dying all the time?
Tough month.
And they're you know, it's kind of our genre.
Our
you know,
life,
it's our... Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
so mortal.
I think Mick Jagger, he's either birthday's coming up shortly or just had one, I believe. 82.
114.
No, he's 82.
That is crazy.
Well, we saw him at concert.
What
was that, 2 years ago?
And he's still out there jumping on the stage.
Oh, my God. He had way more energy than maybe I ever had.
Well, especially after we finally got to our seats.
Yeah. But, I mean, he was, they had like a runway that ran like out into the crowd. It was at... I call it Tampa Stadium. It's
whatever they call it. Whatever. Yeah,
and
but we were kind of he's still not like 30 years ago, but for a guy his age, absolutely amazing.
Yes,
live. Yeah,
really was, and it was a good show. My expectations weren't real high. I mean, big stadium show. These guys,
we're
getting way up there in age, but they put on a heck of a show. I was impressed. But, yeah, the biggest one where a lot of people are going to be talking about it is Hulk Hogan, because here you had a, you know, they keep referring to a larger-than-life character. And to be larger-than-life, and you're already like, what? What was he, 6'7"? Was he that big?
Big boy.
Six-something like
think
that.
Think about it. I mean, obviously started as a wrestler and turned that into an acting gig, which some would say is the same thing. I mean, you got your own action figure. You've done other TV shows. There was a cartoon, I think, version. I mean, he kind of did it all, and he was a piece of Americana.
And he got baptized and kind of renewed his faith, and that was just, I think, like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, something like that.
And of course, if some people weren't paying attention, you know, he had that great speech for President Trump at the 2024 Republican National Convention. He rips off his suit.
He had MAGA, brother.
Yeah. Trumpomania is going to run wild all over you, brother.
I loved seeing that. That was just awesome. Well, because you had had, you know, a couple of the wrestlers doing that, you know, for the lefties. And it's like, okay, whatever. But I was glad to see, like, you know, The Undertaker and Kane and then Hulk Hogan coming out for Donald Trump.
You remember Andre the Giant? He had that bit. That was really kind of probably really put him.
Yes.
He was on the map, but this made him like a household name.
That did
he
it.
Picked up Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
And body slammed him. And that, I got to tell you, that made my back hurt just watching that. And
for
actually,
landing or picking up Andre?
For both of them.
Okay, all right.
Both of them, because, you know, Andre the Giant, he suffered a lot of health issues and stuff. I mean, they basically, he was like the, he was sort of like the Joe Biden of wrestling. And what I mean by that is, you know, they kind of had to get him prepped and stuff to get into at least some semblance of wrestling shape.
He was probably in pain all the time.
Hence, probably the reason why he drank
A lot
of beer all the time. But he's a big boy.
And they were tiny little... Watching him hold a beer can, it was funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're going to miss the Hulkster for sure.
Yes, we will. There'll never be another one like him, I don't think. 8:16 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and you can listen to the Bob Rose Show on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps, or tell your smart speaker, play 97.3 The Sky. What a great iconic rock song from the band Golden Earring. Yep, we lost another one, the guitar player, George Cummins, dead at 77, the guitar player for this band. It makes you drive fast. Be
it
careful.
Does really, yeah, yeah. Blame it on the song. Officer, yeah. It was Radar Love.
Heading on out, my hands wet on the wheel.
You know this intro. When you hear it, you know exactly what song it is.
Yeah! This is before they had GPS. They had Radar Love.
Really? That's yeah. how that worked, huh?
That's how you know where your loved one is. You could just connect via radar.
You didn't need an app for that. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's. I just love that song. Right. I always have. But, yeah, so we lost another one. 77?
Tough week to be famous. Tough yeah. month so far because they weren't all this week, but most of them were. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the Hulkster. That's a big one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We won't get over that, I think, for a while. And, you know... Everybody has a Hulk story of some, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some way, shape, or form in, mm-hmm. in some context. I mean, you know, he was a big deal, you know, worldwide.
Sure.
But he became a big deal, really, in the Tampa Bay area.
Mm-hmm.
And so, a lot of people knew him in that area. I mean, knew him personally.
Right.
I don't recall ever getting to meet him, although... You know, he and a lot of the wrestlers actually came by the station,
mm-hmm.
but they would visit like the morning show and
sure,
stuff
yeah.
in Tampa. But yeah. Anyway, you never know when the good Lord's going to call you home. So so be nice, be courteous.
Yes.
How's that? Even on a Friday.
Really?
Especially on a Friday. Hey, a story I didn't get to earlier in the week, but I think it's worth. We're talking about the North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's only two times to talk about NORAD. Christmas,
yep.
when
yes.
Santa Claus takes off,
yes.
and incoming missiles from Russia, which thankfully the...
What a contrast.
Yeah.
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 Two kinds of flying objects. Yeah.
Yeah. Their real job is not tracking Santa. They just
Come
do that
on,
as a side
really?
Yeah.
Oh, they just do that as a public service and a courtesy to the kids.
Well, they were busy, and they detected Russian military aircraft flying near the coast of Alaska this week. You know, if you got planes, and they're military planes,
yeah.
why are you flying around Alaska when you're actually at war with a country that's way on the other side? Wouldn't you be like, if you got warplanes and you got gas to put in them, don't you think you'd be, not that I'm asking Putin to do it, but I'm saying, wouldn't you be focused a little bit more on the country that you're actually at war with?
Yeah, because it seems like he's not been doing a great job the last 3 years, considering he hasn't won yet.
Yeah, he can't beat Ukraine, but he wants to pick a fight with us?
Yeah.
That's not
Alaska could take Russia.
Exactly.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. The Air National Guard and a couple other things.
They could take Russia.
Yeah. Especially since I don't think they've done proper maintenance on their nuclear
sure.
arsenal
no.
in a long time. It's like they're going to hit the switch and it's going to be like, and it'll be all rusty. And it's like, is that thing going to launch? It doesn't look like it. Well, let's make sure that we take the detonator out, huh?
Good plan.
That would be a good plan. NORAD said the command stated that the activity was not seen as a threat, but the flights do come in the wake of President Donald Trump's economic threats against Russia to end the war in Ukraine. Joint U.S.-Canada Command reported that the aircrafts were identified in its Alaskan Air Defense Identification Zone just outside U.S. airspace. The flights, apparently, they have. There's been a few more recently. And again, I don't know what they're attempting to do because
I don't know.
I don't think there's a great deal of fear, shall we say, on our part. I mean, it doesn't mean we want to invite World War III, but I just don't think that they're not threatening.
No, but so why be an irritant? You know, why irritate somebody who can affect you and your economy,
yeah.
as in Donald Trump?
Yeah, I don't get it. And you're at war with Ukraine. Wouldn't you be using maybe those planes to help in that effort?
Uh-huh. Could probably use the fuel, too, you know,
just
in case.
Yeah, some things don't, you know, it's hard to make sense of some of the things. that we see. Oh, like this. Like, okay. I mean, some of these people aren't even cold yet, like Ozzy Osbourne. Right. And, of course, you know, all the accolades come out for him. Uh-huh. He was a great artist. He was a funny as, you know, what character.
Right.
I mean, and he branched out, had the TV show and all that. So, apparently, what did he do? He played in Israel.
Yeah.
He played Israel twice.
Yeah.
And spoke out against boycotts against Israel, and he spoke out against anti-Semitism. Now, he's not Jewish, but apparently his wife is. I believe Sharon is. But so now there's activists that are trying to trash him.
Oh, brother.
I mean,
yeah.
He's not going to speak out against anti-Semitism anymore.
Right, but, exactly.
Yeah, anti-Israel activists took to social media in the hours after rock legend Ozzy Osbourne's death on Tuesday at the age of 76, trashing him for performing in Tel Aviv despite far-left attempts to enforce an artistic boycott. Osbourne's not Jewish, but Judaism became important to his life through his wife, Sharon. The Jerusalem Post reported that Osbourne played in Israel twice and spoke out against boycotts and anti-Semitism. Huh. He forged a decades-long bond with Israel through his Jewish family, two arena-sized concerts in the country, and outspoken support for the fight against anti-Semitism. So he's, you know what I mean? Like already? Right. And it'll come. There'll be some people that'll say disparaging things about a Hulk. One of the reasons why I think that they'll do that is I think there's a lot of lefties that aren't aware of the role he played in that big RNC speech for mm-hmm. Trump, and just how great and emotional a speech it was. So, yeah, there's always some bozos.
Yep.
Yeah. Governor DeSantis had to deal with a bozo the other day when, he was, you know, praising the Hulk when some mm-hmm. nutbag came in and ranting. So they quickly dispensed with that man. 8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's a happy Friday on 97.3 The Sky. It's the Bob Rose Show, running wild all over you. We won't soon forget the Hulkster. Rest in peace. 8:34 right now on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Good morning. Happy Friday. Lots of things going on. Like a superhero herself, Pam Bondi and the Strike Force.
Ooh.
Putting together a strike force to investigate what Tulsi Gabbard has put out over the last few days, I guess starting last Friday, and releasing more stuff about the fake Russian collusion stories, the hoax. The hoax? Who called it a hoax right from the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
Donald J. Trump.
Yep.
Who said he was being spied on from the beginning and they laughed at him, said he was paranoid? Donald J. Trump. Yep. Who knew that, well, he didn't know it right away, but what slime balls that head of the CIA, John Brennan was,
mm-hmm.
Head of the DNI, James Clapper.
He found out fast, though, didn't he?
Head of the FBI, Comey.
Yeah, they showed their colors to him.
Oh, yeah. Dirty dogs, man.
Oh, yeah.
And what they did to General Flynn, that was all part of that.
It was
all part of that, undermining the presidency
mm-hmm.
of Donald Trump. That's exactly what they were doing. And Pam Bondi has put together a strike force to investigate these things. And Department of Justice, proud to work with my friend Director Gabbard, and we are grateful for her partnership in delivering accountability for the American people. And hopefully there will be some accountability, somebody being punished.
Oh, I sure hope so.
For this. Obama's going to be a tough target, especially the Supreme Court kind of really, in a recent ruling, really reiterated that, you know, presidential immunity does give you pretty broad protection while you're in the office of the president. And Town Hall's Katie Pavlich, also she's on Fox News Channel as well, she asked Gabbard if Any of this new information implicates former President Obama in criminal behavior. Gabbard said, we have referred and will continue to refer all of these documents to the Department of Justice and the FBI to investigate the criminal implications of this. I would think once Kash Patel gets his hands on some of this stuff, they'll be hitting the ground running. I believe.
I hope so.
The evidence that we have found and that we have released directly point to President Obama leading the manufacturing of this intelligence assessment. There are multiple pieces of evidence and intelligence that confirm that. James Clapper, he had Tulsi's job back in the day. Is he running scared? Because he is mentioned very, very often in this whole scenario. Well, apparently he's lawyered up. He admitted it on CNN.
Probably a good idea.
He said, yeah, so what are you going to do if they come after you? Well, I'll lawyer up, I suppose. And then he paused and he goes, well, I already have.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. They noted that Clapper and then-President Barack Obama and his administration, December 2016, that foreign adversaries did not use cyber attacks on election infrastructure to alter the U.S. presidential election outcome. And then they later changed that and said, yes, there was Russian interference, and basically Russia's intent was to help Trump win, which we know is absolutely not true, and there's factual basis for that, documentation for that. And apparently the Kremlin even had incriminating information, or you know, not incriminating necessarily, but information that wouldn't have helped her campaign about Hillary Clinton being on heavy, heavy sedative type medications to because of her like mood swings and constant anger and lashing out and all that. And Putin could have released that if he wanted to, if he wanted to impact the election and lean it toward Trump.
Yeah,
he could have done that. And he didn't.
He didn't. What's that tell you?
Because he wasn't. He didn't want Trump to be president.
No,
he has had his way when Obama was president. He took Crimea. When Biden was president, he went into Ukraine. And he
doesn't seem to be scared of the Democrats at all, does he?
No, not a bit.
Seems to have free rein.
Yep. Senator Bill Hagerty, the Republican out of Tennessee. And a host of bipartisan senators introduced legislation to deter foreign governments, including Mexico, from seizing American-owned assets. I honestly wasn't aware that there was an issue here. But Hagerty's a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, led his colleagues in introducing the Defending American Property Abroad Act, a bill that would impose retaliatory prohibitions to deter and subsequently punish any nation in the Western Hemisphere that unlawfully seizes American assets. Hagerty and lawmakers introduced this in response to the Mexican government attempting to seize a deepwater port owned by American-based Vulcan Materials Company. And that would be in violation of the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, the USMCA. That governs trade between America and our neighbors to the north and south. I strongly condemn the Mexican government's threats against Vulcan Materials Company, and I am pleased to see the bipartisan and bicameral rebuke from the United States Senate. So when tried to reach for comment, the CEO, Spock, could not be reached. Vulcan.
Yes.
Spock.
Yes.
Tying them together.
And you get Star Trek.
What were you like off in Dreamland?
No, I just, I was thinking he's probably thinking very logically about it is what I was thinking.
Well done, sir.
Yeah.
That was well done, Spock.
Thanks, Captain.
All right. What else you want to talk about?
I don't know.
I think we covered.
We
covered everything.
We've done 4 hours of material in, you know.
I should bring back my bug story because it's still...
It's been an hour and a half.
Traumatic, folks.
Is it still bugging you?
Traumatic, yes.
Yeah.
I woke up in the middle of the night.
Which is for, in our world, about 1 o'clock.
Yeah, woke up in the middle of the night, 1 a.m.-ish, with apparently a bug, literal bug, in my ear.
Well, you know the phrase, hey, Bob, let me put a bug in your ear.
Yeah, and I would never do that voluntarily, but somehow some little creepy crawly got in there.
Now, did you think it was a dream at first, or did it wake you up?
I was like, I think like hitting, like pushing things away, you know what I mean? Like,
in your semi-sleep at that point.
Yes, and then I wake up, and it's like, is that water in my ear, or is something actually moving? It is a, I'm telling you, it is the... how do you describe that feeling?
Well, see what came to mind for me is all the sci-fi movies over the years, where they put the little like worm looking thing that's going to get into your brain, and they put it in your ear first to get to your brain.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking about.
Yeah,
does that help?
I'm telling you, I'm going to have PTSD over this thing. I finally, I got tweezers. Okay.
Which, you know, really, it normally wouldn't be stick. They say don't stick anything sharp in your ear, you know? Tweezers, that's a little extreme, you know?
It might not have been that the best of ideas, but I can tell you, while it's going on, you're like, I want that thing out of there.
Whatever it is. Because you didn't really know at this point what it exactly was.
No, but yeah, it was some kind of creepy crawly. And so I've eventually, like, sprayed stuff in my ear.
For your ears, your stuff?
But it's actually, I think it was like a nose spray, but I just grabbed whatever was like liquid.
Drowned bug, drowned.
Yes. Okay. And, it came out of there and in the sink, and I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, I'm not positive it was a roach. It wasn't a German roach for sure, but it did have some sort, I don't know if it was a type of beetle or what it was. Ew. So that totally grossed me out, and it was not a way... You want to be woken up for sure. And, yeah, I eventually did get back to sleep, but I don't think it was a very restful sleep. But, anyway, that's my what's bugging you story. I literally was being bugged. Davis Gainesville, Chevrolet Skylines. Chris, good morning.
Hey, Mr. Bob. You get an insect or something like that in your ear, olive oil.
Oh,
is what you want to put in your ear. I had was working on a truck one night and using lights, and you know, bugs always flying around the light went in my ear, and that joker got in there and was hitting my ear canal, and it was torture.
Yeah, it's not fun.
No, that's yucky. To use a technical term. So olive oil, there you
go. Olive oil. Olive oil, Popeye, pour me in your ear.
I knew your brain was going to go there.
Hey, olive oil.
It's Friday, friends.
Little olive oil, huh?
Huh.
You got to give yourself like a wet willy with olive oil.
But then you got to clean that out because it's going to be oily, you know. I think what you did, even though it's for your nose, probably did work better. It was probably a little thinner, and it probably kind of washed them out a little bit easier.
Ugh.
Yeah. That had to be fun at that hour of the morning.
It is a form of torture.
Yeah.
Nasty. Just nasty. I'm gonna sleep with earplugs from now on.
Oh, no, because then you'll oversleep, so you're not doing that.
Oh. Yeah.
I'll get a text about, I'll be calling you, like, going, Bob, are you coming to work today? No.
8:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Happy, happy Friday. A lot more to come on 97.3 The Sky. Happy Friday. Welcome. Let's make it awesome. Come on. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Let's call it 8:50, 10 minutes till 9 o'clock. Here's another Congressman, Tim Burchett. He's a Republican out of Tennessee, and he was on CNN, and he said, look, we're probably never going to get to the bottom of the Epstein saga. I don't know. I mean, they're talking to Ghislaine. Is that what they're calling her now?
Yeah, they've kind of shuffled on that, the zh and the tss. have all gone away now.
Listen, you're all going to go by the names that I call you, and you're just going to have to live with it. It's just the way it is.
There you go.
I mean, there is an S in there. Ghislaine.
Yes.
I don't know. That's what I've been saying from the get-go, and everybody else is...
They've changed it, though. Everybody wasn't...
How about this?
Yeah.
If you're in prison, maybe you don't have the right to have your name pronounced correctly.
Maybe we should just get her number, and you could, like, you know, go by her number.
Hmm.
Just a thought.
Yeah. You can do that.
Yeah, ID number. Yeah.
Bob Seger wrote about that. Feels like a number.
Oh, he did.
Just feel
he?
Like a number sometimes.
Yeah.
What do you make of the fact that the government had this meeting with Ghislaine Maxwell today? The host of the show on CNN asked the congressman out of Tennessee, and is the Trump administration handling this the right way? He responded, I don't think this thing's been handled the right way from the very beginning. The Biden administration has had it for 4 years. They didn't do anything. Now politics is in. Everybody's pointing fingers. We're never going to get to the bottom of this thing. And he added, this town covets its lies, and they take a lot of pride in them. You know, honestly, any information that comes out now, it's always going to have to stand the test of being tainted. But I would, as I've talked to some attorneys, if Ms. Maxwell were to perjure herself and she were to cut some kind of deal, I don't know if that's even in the realm of possibility, but if she were to, she would immediately go back to her original sentence. Yeah, I don't know. They can always work something out if they want to get to the bottom of it. But then you could always look at it and say, okay, well, is she being honest now? Could she make up a name, put somebody in the hot seat to benefit her in some other way? I don't know.
Or the other side go, oh, no, they had nothing to do with anything when they really did, depending on.
Oh, she definitely, I don't think there's any doubt that she knew all about it. She set it all up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines and Roy, good morning.
One, I think she is one of the masterminds behind everything going on. But I don't think we'll ever actually find out anything because I think the people that were doing the investigating destroyed most all of the evidence that was involved. But at the same time, when I worked at the prison, we just called them inmate.
There you go.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Inmates.
Inmate.
Oh, in her case.
Yeah.
Singular.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen in terms of any information that she might share, but that would have been the person that really you should have been digging deep on whatever she knew.
And like you said, this has been going on for so long now. It's like what information has been buried, burned, thrown away, erased. You know, you can look at the air quotes here, files. But what's in them that or isn't in them that used to be so or should be? We'll never know.
And one of the main victims of this whole thing, she killed herself. Joffrey, remember? She was one of the first like witnesses to come forward or whatever. And so, they're kind of suffering and whatever else that you know, is still going to continue on.
And then Epstein... never mind.
Yeah. You remember, it was a suicide.
Yeah, I heard that.
It might have been.
Could have been.
It might have been suicide, but he might have also, maybe had a little bit of help on that.
Assisted suicide.
Yeah. Remember, it's one of the most secure facilities of its kind in the country.
So we're told,
But a bunch of cameras didn't work, and the guys on duty were taking naps.
It was a very sleepy night.
It's just
so sleepy.
We're supposed to believe all that. It's hard.
Yeah,
hard
to. I know.
You'd mentioned this earlier about South Park season 27.
Is that crazy?
Season 27.
It's older than people we know.
That is crazy. But I know the people that are into it are really into it.
Oh, big time!
I tried to watch it once. I talked about it on the air. It might have been almost 20 years ago. And what I said, because it felt true, I said, they're using the voices, the cadence, the frequency in which they're talking in, I can't understand it very well. In other words, I thought they specifically were like, no, we don't want your generation to know this.
Right.
We don't want, it's not for you.
I could see that.
It's kind of how I felt.
But how here they are now.
Still.
A generation later.
My son would reference them all the time about some hilarious thing they did.
I know.
Because they did. They lampooned everything.
And everybody. They're not shy.
Apparently, in their season 27 opener, they trolled President Donald Trump, Paramount.
Mm-hmm.
So they go after their own parent company. They go after the president.
And somehow they didn't get canceled. But I thought that's why Colbert got canceled, is he talked about Trump.
Yeah. Well, the show's creators, in fact, inked a $1.5 billion deal with Paramount. Wow.
I think that's not a bad 5-year gig.
And I just, where is a cartoon character going to spend that kind of money?
I have no idea.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, but you probably need new ink all the time.
I mean,
yeah.
I didn't even know there was like a real monetary system in cartoon land.
Money makes the world go round, Bob, whichever world you're in.
So if you're one of those voice actors.
That's been a good gig.
Probably getting a good.
It's been a good gig.
Chunk of change, I would guess. All right. So anyway, this becoming public definitely takes the wind out of all the lefties who wanted to say that. They dumped Colbert for political reasons. No, they did it for financial reasons.
He's
South
a loser.
South Park actually makes them money.
Or you don't get a 5-year, $1.5 billion deal if you're not making money.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But, they pick on everybody in that show, so it's not about, in this case, not about political motivation. It is 8:57 on the Bob Rose Show. Can you believe it? The 9 o'clock stretch is right around the corner. News, information, headlines, it's all coming your way on this awesome. Happy Friday, 97.3 The Sky.